Or later, this is all documented, they had a notary public in the room and his doctor, and an hour later he's completely normalized, the first time in years that he stopped shaking. So they had another couple people that they did the same thing with extreme Parkinson. And
are you talking
exact same effect on them, Vincent?
Are you talking about that Vincent, that former police officer, the former police officer who then spent most of his life enforcing the law and then realized that the only way to get relief from his condition was to break the law? That was such a sad video, man. That made me cry.
Well, it did, Vince, but you know what? It's never too late to have a change in your attitude. And the fact that the guy prosecuted people all his life, the lights came on in his eyes, and I'm sure he'll reflect on that for the rest of his life.
Is that Rick Simpson's people?
Yeah, well, you know, Rick Simpson, kind of really, guys, he's the one that got me really up to about, I'm going to be honest, till about 5 or 6 years ago in my life, I really wasn't paying too much attention to cannabis and what it could do to the world. But then I met Rick Simpson, and that was a change in my life because he really opened my eyes to what's happening with people. Now, in my own community, I have been able in the last 3 years to provide high-grade cannabis oil to 7-8 people now with cancer. And every time I have seen the exact result, complete elimination of cancer in their body. And I've witnessed that myself 7 times in my community. And people are talking now. People are talking all over the world. And the sooner we get rid of the stigma, the sooner we can really break free of all the government control on this incredible plant that was put on this planet for all of us to use, we will see unbelievable changes in our world when we can get over that, guys. And that's something I talk about all the time because we have all these problems on our world right now. We see pharmaceutical drugs going crazy. We see people going crazy. We see our environment being destroyed. We see massive die-off of mammals in the ocean, unprecedented in human history, and it's all because of pollutants and nuclear power and everything we're doing wrong to the planet. It can all be turned around, but we don't have a lot of time to do this, but I still believe we have time. And the cannabis plant, man, that would literally heal this planet from the inside out. And Rick said that to me about 5 years ago, and I kind of chuckled when he said that to me, but you know what? Now that is the most true statement I've ever made. So it's something I talk about all the time because it's really it has so many answers for the human race, man. We just got to embrace it.
And also in New Zealand,
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Vincent, by the way.
Oh, thanks, bro. Well, it's interesting that we're talking about cannabis because that's actually how I got involved in activism, first of all, in about 12 years ago now that I got arrested for selling cannabis to people at university. And I got 300 hours community service for a first offense for a possession of 13 grams. It was just the most horrific month of my life, essentially. And I developed panic attacks and a stress disorder and all of this kind of stuff, which are now incurable. So I'm stuck with that for life. You know, it's like, thank you, police, for saving me from that terrible, terrible cannabis. You know, otherwise I would have been, you know, relaxed and watching a movie, you know, I mean, fuck.
Hugging your kids.
Dodge that bullet. Hey,
Vinny, try not to swear on the station, okay, buddy, if you can.
Yeah, I know. I didn't add the K on the end. I just went, fuck.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, you know what? Honestly, when I start talking about cannabis, it fills my heart with hope. It really does.
It fills my lungs with hope. Now,
it does, and my lungs. You know, really, when we look at it, the whole endocannabinoid system, if people could really start to understand how that system works in our body, how our bodies are built and born with cannabinoid receptors body, right. It's in our mother's breast milk.
It's funny you should mention that.
It was meant to be in this world.
Because I just got sent a video, actually, from Dr. Bob Malamede, who's the one who's been around working with Rick Simpson, telling people about that endocannabinoid system.
Right.
And so when I opened my Skype to come on the show here, there were two messages. One was from Mudman trying to get me on this show, and the other was from Dr. Bob Malamede, so I'm sending me a video of what he's up to now. You know, that's the universe at work, isn't it?
I've got a great guest for you one of these days if you want. Dr. David Allen. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, Benny, but he is one of the leading researchers. Yeah, he's a great guy to get on. I'm going to actually get him on here again in a couple of weeks. I haven't had him on for a while. But when he gets on, buddy, he really breaks down to people how this system works in the human body and why it's so critical that we research it. Because right now it's only 13% of the medical universities in the United States are even touching on the endocannabinoid system. Yet the World Health Organization says the discovery of that system in the human body is the greatest discovery in medical history. We see the effects of cannabis all through our society when it's added to people.
Go ahead, explain this as well.
I'm here to have you talk. I'll get right. You get me talking about cannabis, and I'll go forever. So I'll just shut up for a few minutes, okay?
Right. Well, we better not get you talking about methamphetamine then, because you'll be talking twice as fast.
Yeah, but before you get on with that, I gotta end up going anyway. I gotta cut out here.
Okay, Dan.
Stuff to do, but
hey, well, thanks for joining me for a couple hours, Dan. It's been a real pleasure having you on. We'll get you back here again real
Anytime,
soon.
Anytime, brother. All right. Take care, Dan. Guys. God bless you guys.
Thanks, man. All right. So we were talking about the endocannabinoid system, right? And a while ago, I had these conversations with Rick Simpson, Dr. Bob Malamede, and it occurred to me that the reason why cannabis works on so many levels on virtually anything that you give somebody something for, apart from bad reactions to cannabis, it'll have some positive effect, right? And it turns out that this is the way the cannabinoid molecule works, right? Your cell will develop a receptor. You're born with receptors in your cells, but if you keep ingesting cannabis, whether that's eaten or smoked, your cells will actually grow more and more and more receptors. And the more you do, and let's say your cells become completely coated in receptors, they make your cells more efficient at harnessing the cannabinoid molecule. Now, what this receptor does is it sends a signal to the cannabinoid molecule. I need zinc. I need magnesium. I need calcium. I need X mineral or nutrient, etc., right? And this is the real amazing part. The cannabinoid molecule responds to the request of the cell for specific nutrients and transmutes itself into a synthetic version of what the cell needs and inserts itself then into the receptor. Hence, whatever your body needs to heal itself, the cannabis plant will basically give you, right? That's a catch-all phrase, right? And it's not 100% accurate, but it's like 96% accurate or something.
Yeah, and it's just mind-blowing when you say that and people hear that for the first time. I was well aware of what you're talking about, but for people to hear that the first time, they go, wow, huh? Really? But it's true. Go ahead, Vince.
Yeah, that's right, man. You should have some more of it, man. It's good for you.
You know what? Hey, Vinny, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when I met Rick, I had him out to British Columbia here. We did a tour of British Columbia. I get to spend about almost 4 weeks with Rick. We toured all over BC and got to do 9 venues in that tour. And he got me using cannabis oil about 3.5 years ago. And you know what? I use it every day. I have a little jar of oil, and I was lucky enough to grow a bunch last year, and I make up oil, and I consume it all the time, and I'll tell you, it really does have an effect on your brain. I feel like my brain is working better now than it was 5 years ago, and I can honestly say that. So that's one of the things that I've noticed. My health is absolutely – I'm in really, really good health for being the age I am, and it seems like my brain is getting bigger. Now, that sounds funny to say, but it really does.
Well,
it seems like I'm getting smarter. I don't know what that sounds weird, but that's the way I feel. Vincent, go ahead.
Are you by chance doing something that's good for you and absorbing new information all the time that may or may not be contradictory to a lot of the beliefs that you've held for a good portion of your life? You see, you can't, if you're doing that, you can't help but get smarter. Because it's the opposite thing to what everybody else does. And as you see, pretty obviously, everybody else is not getting smarter. They're getting worse, right? And you were doing a tour with Rick Simpson for like 4 weeks, I was like, whoa. You know what that told me, bro? That he's not a narcissist or a psychopath, because you can't hang out with those people day in, day out and continue to tolerate them. They wear thin real freaking quickly, and there's a shockingly large amount of those scum in the truth movement, bro. I'm telling you.
There isn't, but Rick is a true soul, Vince. I got to know the man really, really well. And I applaud him for what he's done in his life. He really kind of opened my eyes and inspired me to get involved. And at things he's, like I said, he really had an influence on my life. And now I've been able to share that information with other people, and I've been able to share high-grade oil with people that are dying from cancer, and they're alive. So to me, I go, whoa, hey, it's been a change in my life. And now, every time I get a chance to talk to people about cannabis, buddy, I do, just not the medical aspect. I really try and hammer home to people what we can do with industrial hemp. I mean, just think of a world, Vinny, that we're building houses that don't burn.
One of the most,
I mean, that alone. Wouldn't that be incredible, my friend? But that's what we can do. Go ahead.
Have you noticed that everything that's said about cannabis as a negative is usually a lie? And the most interesting one that I found out the truth about, this particular lie, was driving, right? Oh, if you drive, you're not going to be as good. You're going to get in accidents and things like that. And, you know, it sounds reasonable, you know, don't drink and drive. Don't get stoned and drive, you know, right? So people passively accept that. And I think it was Los Angeles County conducted a meta study of all the different causalities behind car accidents, right? Now, if you're tired, you're more likely to get in a car accident. If you're a young man, you're more likely to get in a car accident. If you're angry, you're more likely to get in a car accident. If you're on psychotropic drugs, you're more likely to get into a car accident. So there's all these little meta causations and causalities behind it. So let's say somebody is drunk and stoned and a young man and really angry and really sleep deprived, and he's driving and he gets in an accident. Which caused the accident? Well, the county sheriff would obviously say it was the cannabis, obviously. But the meta study went through and it actually looked at all these causality factors and looked at them along the side and went, oh my God, isn't that interesting? Every single time that cannabis is involved in an accident, it's always something else that was more the causal factor. And in fact, they found that if cannabis is in your system, you're 30%, that's a third, less likely to get in an accident. Right? And this reminded me a bit of a Bill Hicks sketch. He goes, let's say you get in a car accident, you've been smoking pot. You're only going 4 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, cops now, if you're driving down the road and you're driving really well and you're doing everything by the law, they're going to pull you over because they know you've been smoking cannabis, man. Well, there's actually studies been done on that actual issue, Vince, and I'm sure you're aware of them, that there was a university in the States, and I've got the link and I read it, where they took regular cannabis consumers and they put them into a road test after smoking a couple joints of cannabis, and they put them up against normal drivers that were stone sober, no cannabis, no alcohol, just stone sober drivers, and the cannabis drivers were outperforming the normal drivers. And that report, when I read it, boy, I'll tell you. And now they're going to charge us for having a joint and driving down the road. Well, my friend, I've been smoking it all my life, and I've never had an accident in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, bunk to that.
Well, what was interesting about it is that if the cannabis is actually making you drive less slow, like, what's the causal factor of that? Like, why does the cannabis make you a better driver? And it's simple. You have a look at what does cause the accidents, being tired, being grumpy, right? If you're on cannabis, mm-hmm. are you grumpy? No. And if you're tired on cannabis, are you driving? No, you're at home usually. You know, you don't go, oh man, I'm really tired. I need to have a joint so I can drive properly. No, you have a coffee or something, don't you? Because cannabis is a depressant. You don't use it for that. Let's say your car accident is caused by pharmaceutical drugs. All right. Cannabis users don't need pharmaceutical drugs because the cannabis does medicate them just fine. Right. And, all of these factors that cause car accidents are actually mitigated by cannabis, right? So, Bill Hicks was right that cannabis should not only be legalized, it should be mandatory. All right. Somebody's like sitting there in his truck, you know, stuck in traffic. Shut up and smoke that. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I was taking life too seriously. You're right. Yeah, you know, let the Domino's pizza delivery guys get stuck in traffic. You know, they'll be passing each other on the freeway.
honk, honk. Pull over. I'll share my pizza with you.
Hey guys,
well, go ahead. Thing, you wanted to say something, buddy?
Yeah. You will drive better. You will drive and pay attention to the rules and straighter down the road. But the thing is, you might miss your exit because you have other trains of thought going at the same time. And you'll miss your exit. That's about the only side effect I ever saw. But it never hurt me in the taxi. It just made me more money.
Hey, do you know what?
Sorry, folks. I missed my turn.
Do you know what Colombians do when they run out of Coke? Pepsi.
No. Well, you wonder why people were so wired to cocaine when it first came on the market. Well, they were putting cocaine in Coca-Cola, you know?
That's where the Coca comes from. You know, Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola. Which do you want? Do you want the one with the cocaine in it or not? Well, I think I'll get the one with the cocaine. That sounds like a really good idea, bro.
Yeah, it's the real thing.
It's the real
thing.
Things go better.
Yeah. I mean, you can just see people like drinking a bottle of Coke and then rubbing their teeth afterwards.
Well, it absolutely positively has to be there overnight.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough.
So where actually do you live? Actually, Vinny, where do you actually live?
I live in New Zealand.
Okay. Okay. Well, I watched your little video there on John Kay's step down speech.
Oh man, that was
that was good, man. I listened to that whole video. That was a good video, bud. Good work.
Oh man, it was painstaking, right? Like it was we're in what's known as the annual dope drought right now, so I'm on my third day sober, and I do have a big giant special occasion joint that I'm saving, right? And this is the first time I've actually been, you know, a day or two or three without cannabis for years, like literally years. Wow. Right? I've managed to keep my supply properly, and I probably do about a gram a day because I'm a very hyperactive, incredibly aggressive, narcissistic personality, and it calms me down. It allows me to internalize a lot of my thoughts, and it allows me to relax, and I can't have that without it. And I've had real trouble sleeping for the last 3 days. And it seems to me that there's a lot of benefits in it. But the fact of the matter is, because there's so much benefit in it and because you can grow it yourself technically, you know, that's what has spelt its demise as being a legal substance, because people know they can it can compete with their current monopolies. And this happened in terms of the medical profession a long, long time ago. Like I think it was like late 1800s, mid-1800s, something like that, where the Rockefeller Foundation sent this guy named Flexner. It was called the Flexner Report, around to all the major medical institutions, right? All the homeopaths, all the naturopaths, all the alternative dentists, medicine, all the types of medical schools, right? And he would rank them as either being 5 stars, really, really good, or 1 star, really, really bad. And it turns out that all the things that got ranked as 1 star got closed down. And it turns out that all the things with 5 stars wound up being the only institutions that were left standing, right? And guess which ones all got shut down? And guess which ones all stayed open? The ones that were keeping the medical profession going on that one pill for every ill mantra. And all their drugs at that time, and even today, are made with, wait for it, the waste product from oil drilling. There's a whole bunch of crap that comes up when you're drilling for oil, and it's incredibly toxic, and it's impossible to get rid of, and incredibly expensive. But it has massive effects on human physiology and the brain. So they thought, well, why don't we just put all this poison into pills, close down all our competition that says that all these pills are poison, and then teach all the medical students that from now on? Because that way anybody comes to them with an illness, they'll go, well, we can make that worse.
We got a pill for that, man. Well, doctors, you know, Vinny, I used to worship my doctor growing up. Of course, a lot of us did until we realized that they're the biggest hypocrites in the world. They're the biggest drug pushers in the world. I mean, you can go into your doctor's office one day, he'll give you a prescription. You go back a couple weeks later, something else is bothering your doctor, he'll give you another prescription. They got a book for every disease in the human being, and they're mandated to follow those parameters because Big Pharma pays for a lot of their schooling. We know how the system is set up and how corrupt it is and how Big Pharma is basically running governments. But I see a change coming in society. I do, as more and more people become aware of what cannabis can do. And there was a documentary on CBC, which is our government-controlled media in Canada here a couple of days ago, Vinny, that actually astounded me, the information being put out on a public broadcaster in Canada about the effects of cannabis, undeniable reports of just about every illness that we can talk about is being affected or is being cured or is seeing dramatic reduction in all aspects of the disease through the use of cannabis. And this is coming across on mainstream. People are becoming aware. They really are. I mean, people now, when I talk to them about it, there isn't that stigma of as soon as you say that word, they kind of cringe and go into a corner and think you're talking about a gateway drug and you're going to try and kill their children. That stigma is going away in society. Well, you know, when I was growing up, Vinny, I got told to watch, I was mandated, believe it or not, when I was young, to watch Reefer Madness. They put it in a classroom in our school to teach us on the evils of cannabis.
I'm sure you've watched
Reefer Madness.
Well, when I watched Reefer Madness in school, I just sat there in the chair telling the teacher with the VCR, play it faster so that it's over quicker.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want the top of the hour music break?
Sure. You don't mind if I take a break for about 2 minutes? I got to throw a log on my fire here, Vinny, and I'm going to use the bathroom again, but, would love to chat with you for another half hour or so.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I've got another 40 minutes for you.
Okay. Well, let's just take a break. Let me take a break here for about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Muddy will play a song and we'll be right back with the big puzzle.
I'll go take a wiki leak.
Great conversation going here, guys. I'll be right back.
Back to the big puzzle with Barry Prince and Vincent Eastwood. So far, we've had a wonderful show. I'm just going to turn it right straight to them. Y'all keep smiling, have a ball, and enjoy the program. Barry?
Hey, well, welcome back, guys. And, we're having a very lively conversation tonight. We got into one of my favorite subjects, of course, which is cannabis, and that really kind of inspires my soul when we talk about it because, like I said, we got a lot of problems in the earth, and it seems to be one of the things that we could implement that would really rectify a lot of the problems that we have. But we're not going to get into that too much in the second hour. Vinny wants to he wanted to play a video, didn't you, Vinny, of a clip you just did? And I'm going to let you take that.
It's actually just a comment. It's actually just a comment that a listener left me this morning on YouTube that made me feel really good, right? And it doesn't happen very often because I've got a big ego, and when people give me compliments, they mostly just get filed under meh, right? Unless it's from somebody that I really respect, or unless the compliment is hugely genuine, you know? Like if somebody says, Vinny, you're great, meh. But if somebody says this, markedly better, in-depth, emotionally open, compassionate, intelligent, witty, and brilliant, that's what I get from the Vinny Eastwood Show. No matter how much scumbaggery there is out there, I can save up Vinny Eastwood shows to help me wind down from hours of watching the worst stuff that needs to stop happening around the world and just have a laugh and go to bed happy. Whoa.
That's quite a compliment to have from a listener, Vinny.
Well, and it's a genuine compliment, right?
It came from somebody's heart.
Mm. And see, those are the things that I'm really after. I came to this conclusion after watching David Icke when he came here earlier on last year, that there was this one factoid in his presentation. He said that there was this psychologist who did this study, actually, in her own practice, she would ask her what are they called patients, 5 questions, and they'd ask them to answer the 5 questions firstly with their brain and secondly with their heart. And she said it was like talking with 2 completely different people, and that really resonated with me because I was just like, man, I really am in my head way too much. Like, there's so much going on up here that it just drives me nuts, you know, like I drive myself nuts. And it occurred to me that that was my problem. I wasn't thinking with my heart enough. You know?
Well, you know, I agree with what you're saying, Vinny, because really right now we got to kind of open our hearts to people. And that has an amazing effect on people when you actually talk with your heart. We have so many people out there that aren't talking with their heart, that are just reciting lines, playing on fear, looking for ratings, trying to make a buck, that are really not genuine people. But then you run across people that are genuine people, and you know it when you hear them talk. And that has an effect on people. So I applaud what you're doing. I've listened to lots of your stuff. Some, of course, we're going to have disagreements on certain issues, but I know that your intentions and what you're doing comes from your heart. So but the world needs more people like you, period. Yeah,
it does, but there aren't any.
Well, there is. There is actually, Vinny. You know what? I seem to be connecting with people that are really speaking with their heart. There's individuals that I deal with. You know, there's a lot of false people out there and a lot of people that are just speaking through their arses. You know, you can separate those people pretty quickly, and I get a pretty good feeling about people. And there is people out there that are doing this because their hearts are broken, Vinny. Mm-hmm. We see what's coming. We don't wish this for the human race. We see everything that's going on around us. And you're right. You know, myself, I feel the same way as you do sometimes, that I see such an oligarchy of events happening around me. I don't know where to start and where to stop. What do I deal with today? What do we look at today? Because there's, like I said, there's so many things going on around us that I had to put some rubber sheets up on my walls in one of my rooms here so I could bang my head against it. You know, that's how I feel some days. It's just like a conglomerate of things that are meant to really put us into almost a state of chaos. And I know a lot of people feel that right now. We just see so much going on. It's hard to keep your feet on the ground.
I mean, I've come off... since September of 2016, I have not been doing my broadcasts. Okay? That's how much time I needed off to recover from the crap that happened to me in 2016. All right? And I think that this is a lot of truth is problem. They think, oh, if I'm not doing my show, if I'm not doing this, that, or the other, the world's going to die. No. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to save anyone else? Right?
Exactly. And I agree.
I am so grateful for my listeners and my donors and supporters that they keep donating every week, every month, etc., even though I'm not even doing my shows, because they know that I'm back here. I'm working on something. It might not be doing the Vinnie Eastwood show, but I've narrated three extra chapters of best-selling author Ian Wishart's book, Totalitaria, What If the Enemy Is the State? You know, I've archived maybe 20 to 30 old shows with really big guests that were on these giant pages on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com where, like, there's a whole year of stuff. You know, you can't just send somebody an individual link to an individual archive. So just doing that. And I was making short films and writing scripts and so on and so forth, right? So even when I'm on holiday, I'm not on holiday. And that's something that everybody in the truth movement, I think, burdens themselves with. And I think it's not healthy. Maybe it's not even healthy for me. I mean, I'm only coming back on radio now because I got bored with being on holiday. I was just like, oh, I feel recharged. And then all of a sudden, that truth of rage comes back. Like, you'll see something that really pisses you off, like John Key's stepping down speech that is full to the brim with lies, and none of the media questioning him on it, and you're like, I have a job to do.
Well, all you did, Vinny, is kind of take a little time and recharge your batteries, and that's something, believe it or not, that I had to do myself last year. I went and got lost in the bush for 3 or 4 months picking mushrooms. And I dropped my shows for about that period of time. And when I came back out of the bush, I was kind of like really, really charged up and I wanted to get back in the fight. But to say that when we see the things that we see and understand what we see and see all the crap going around us and people suffering and everything else going on in our world, it does have an effect on you emotionally. It does. And sometimes you just have to step back and recharge your batteries.
Unless you're a psychopath or a malignant narcissist, in which case you can broadcast 7 days a week. All right.
24 hours a day. And yeah, you can keep
flogging your products to help everybody with these problems that you're telling them about that are happening a long way away that aren't actually affecting them right now. That they can't actually affect the outcome of because they're sitting there listening to that talk radio show host instead of living in their own power, doing their own thing in their own unique way and contributing to the world in a way that only they can. And this is the great thing that I've discovered very much recently is the power of human potential and how easily it is to subvert that power and to get people to give their power to you and then not give it back and then have them defend you misusing their power, right? Like the government, for example. This is like a prime example. Hey, we can do things that you can't do, really. So you can pass laws for you to give rights to other people that are rights that nobody else has. That's right. It's called government and hypocrisy. Government. And people, oh, but the government does so much good stuff. Yeah, they tax 60% of your income on average without telling you that they can't tax on you 60% of your income because they only take 30% directly out of it and then charge you 15% on everything you buy and then add on a whole bunch of property taxes and so on and so forth for everything else that you're paying for. So you wind up paying about between 60 to 70 to 80% of all of the things that you earn on taxes. Now, I don't know about you, but slavery is when you give 100% of your earnings to somebody else, right? Now, at what percentage of your income being given to somebody else is it suddenly not slavery anymore? Right? I think Steve...
Yeah, where's the line, Vinny?
Yeah, I think Steve Hughes said it best. We're not free, it's still slavery, except you've got to pay for your own accommodation and food.
Right? And who are we paying it to?
Yeah, well, we're paying it to the bankers, right? And I love that bit in John Key's step down, saying, there's no conspiracy here, there's no grand conspiracy. And I was like, note to self, high-level Freemason, Jewish banker says there's no grand conspiracy here.
and he came into New Zealand politics out of the blue, didn't he, Vinny? Well, almost out of nowhere.
Straight from Wall Street.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, there he was, the new selected representative of your society.
His background was real scary, and 2017 is going to be bad for New Zealanders. I can feel it already because it's an election year, and I freaking hate election years. Oh God. Is it the American election just soaking up an entire couple of years of my time and all the broadcast? Oh.
Wait a second. We got the new white knight in America, man. Everything's good now, Vinny.
Yeah.
He's going to save America.
I love that. It was just like everybody fell for that so massively. Like they fell for it as massively as they did for Barry Satoru, right?
And
the change.
You can't tell people that. You can't tell people that. Trump's going to save the world. Well, wait a second. Hold on. Let's see who has he surrounded himself with, and make that little. What did you mention there just before the break there about his financing there, Vinny? Could you hit on that again?
You were talking
about Trump.
The guy is a billionaire who's been bankrupted several times, and yet somehow is still a billionaire. Right. Doesn't that make any sense to anybody here? What happened? Right? You can't just go from nothing to being back to a billionaire. That's just not possible. Unless there's a shockingly large amount of gargantuan loans that are financing you as a puppet. And they can call in those loans anytime they want, ensuring your complicity to their scumbaggery. Right? Now, I wrote this article and it took me minutes. Right? Just minutes. Okay, so anybody in the alternative media who's been pushing Trump, you know for a fact that they were lying to you the whole time. Okay? The whole time they were lying to you massively through their teeth. Or they didn't do any research and they have no credibility. Okay? And the reason I wrote this article was to prove that in minutes you can find out that Trump is on the side of the New World Order by just Googling his cabinet, right? So
right.
I saw this New Zealand Herald article come out, and it listed a whole bunch of people that he was thinking about for his cabinet. And I refused to cover the election at all, like at all, when it was going on, until such a time as the election result came out. And I wanted to wait a reasonable time before I told everybody, I told you so. And so I waited 3 days after the election result was announced, and then I said, I told you so. Because here we go. Here's the list. Paul Ryan, Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission. All right? It's right there, black and white. Kellyanne Conway, Council for National Policy. Sarah Palin, Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen Munchen, Skull and Bones, Goldman Sachs. Chris Christie, Freemason. Michael Flynn, former Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Sid Miller, Freemason. John Bolter, Council on Foreign Relations. Rudolf Giuliani, Council on Foreign Relations. Newt Gingrich, Council on Foreign Relations. All right, Forrest Lucas. No apparent New World Order affiliation by simple Google search. He's just a self-made oil tycoon who started up a foundation called Protect the Harvest, whose mission statement is literally to fight animal rights activists at every turn, as you do when your name is Forrest. Now, and there's also Wilbur Ross, who's also a Freemason. All right? Now, all the people who voted for him, yes, you. You easily manipulated and misled fools. I told you, but you were like, oh, he's going to make America great again. Newsflash! America was never great. It was land that got stolen from people who got brutally exterminated, which was then used as a plantation for people that got ruthlessly enslaved, which then eventually threw off the crown because a bunch of high-ranking Freemason with large amounts of land and slaves didn't want to pay their taxes on it. Okay? Full stop. Period. You know, this took me an hour total of my time to Google all the names and organizations, and you're telling me that Alex Jones and all the other Truth Movement mouthpiece organizations who were telling you for over a year that Trump was your man, that he was anti-New World Order, and that they couldn't do a simple frickin' Google search on any of the people on his team? Right? Most of the alternative media is compromised, either because they're directly involved with misleading people or are just blinded by their own religious and political beliefs. But at a certain point, there's no difference, is there? You know, like, when are people going to wake up and realize that they haven't even woken up yet? All right? The public is nowhere near waking up either. Right? And I've got to pay homage to Mark Passio and just tell people, stop being order followers. Think for yourself. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean you should believe them unless you've seen the evidence. I had a great status on my Facebook the other day. It says, if I hear good news, I do not believe it. If I hear bad news, I instantly accept it.
Yeah, the power of the mainstream media. Many how easy our society is controlled and duped into thinking what we're told that we have to think and how we have to act and how we have to go to work and how we have to make money and how we have to have a new car and buy a house, fiat currency, borrows the money that doesn't exist so that they can charge us interest on it. I mean, every mechanism of society is just a control mechanism on society, and we all think we're free. Oh, yeah, we're free. We're free to go to work and shut up. Don't look over here. We got it under control. I mean, we're dealing with Justin Trudeau here in Canada, and I don't know if you're following some of the activities of our prime minister here, our new shiny pony, but it is beyond appalling.
Oh, Barry,
I'm going to be doing a show.
I've got to share a video.
Do a show Monday night with Chuck about him.
I've got to share a video with you later on, maybe to view after the show or after you get some sleep. Because it was a chapter in Ian Wishart's Totalitaria that specifically touched on the Sidewinder Report. Have you heard of the Sidewinder Report?
I've heard of it, Vinny.
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
That's some scary stuff, isn't it? Well, to those in the audience who don't know, the Sidewinder Report was a joint task force operation, right, involving the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and a number of other Canadian authorities to investigate Chinese triad activity in Canada. And it turns out that there's a lot of it. As in, every single port in Canada has triads in it. Every single one. 80% of downtown Vancouver is owned by Chinese interests. And the great thing about it is, because Canada, just like New Zealand, allows you to have instant citizenship, when you give $500,000 for government bonds, all of those purchases are not logged as being purchased by Chinese citizens. They're logged as being purchased because you're Canadian, right? This is how they're working you.
And they just passed that same legislation. Trudeau government just passed the same global passports, they're calling it now, Vinny. You can become a Canadian citizen simply by investing in Canada. Oh, what?
Yes, and I'm sure foreign intelligence agencies and organized crime syndicates aren't going to take advantage of that.
No, never, never, never. I mean, let's like open the door here, guys. I mean, come on. Why can't people see the trees for the forest, Vinny?
Probably because it's Canada and they're just cutting them down.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, yeah. Really, hey, maybe so you should blatant. Maybe you should log a complaint.
We'll log a complaint with the Trudeau government. There you go.
Isn't it ironic that a guy named Trudeau is such a lying a lying stag?
Well, you know what? I've never heard a politician that doesn't break every lie that he ever made to get elected. I mean, I'm yet to see one.
Well, this
so
is,
what do we expect out of them?
Well, I'm going to actually upload a slide to you in a second, actually, because this was the greatest discovery, and I think that maybe this was the reason why I actually had to take 4 months off, because this was a really, really hard realization for me to come to terms with. How do you know if you're under mind control? If you don't think you are, all right, it goes from narcissism to psychopathy. All narcissists are psychopaths, but not all psychopaths are narcissists. Oh, sorry. All psychopaths are narcissists, but the reverse is not necessarily true. Okay? Now, if you look at the manipulation techniques that narcissists and psychopaths use to control and manipulate and distort people's reality, etc., and get them under their control, and then you have a look at government mind control programs, and then you have a look at cult indoctrination, you realize that it's exactly the same behavior and methodology. Now, that's very interesting, because the people that have been in mind control programs and cult indoctrination often develop something that's called complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which has symptoms that are remarkably similar to narcissism. All right? Okay. I call it the great cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why abusers tend to have been the abused, right? Now, what's difficult to accept mostly about this is that if you look at these mind control techniques and you look at cult indoctrination, they're very numerous, but they're all inclusive of pretty much everything you'd think you were used to, okay? You ever been in a room with fluorescent lighting? Somebody was talking in a kind of drawl monotone sort of thing, and you were sort of feeling a bit sleepy. Did you know that that's a mind control institution technique?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, been to school, haven't you? You felt that, haven't you? Right? Have you ever been isolated from somebody else so that somebody can give you all this information, etc., like that, in a clean environment without any interference? That's a cult indoctrination technique. You ever had somebody go, "Oh, well, you've come this far, you've got to finish it, or otherwise you won't get this reward." That's another cult indoctrination technique. It's something that they use to prevent people from leaving the cult. When we start really looking into this, you're like, "Oh my God, every single institution in existence, every single one, is a cult." Our governments, our police, military, the med schools, the law system, the schools, education, you know, doesn't matter what you're looking at. It's all a cult. And we're all under mind control. Right? Well, none of us are actually in our right minds. And that is a terrifying reality. However, because I don't think anybody's actually recognized this cycle before, and what's actually behind it, I think once I'm actually finished writing out this presentation, it's still just ideas and a few slides at this point. But once I'm actually able to fully present this and do it in a cohesive manner, it should actually have a massive effect on somebody's consciousness. And it might, hopefully, reactivate a few people and stop them from having these terrible, you know, mind control scumbaggery inflicted upon them.
Right.
Would you like to hear what I've written so far?
Go ahead.
Okay. Narcissists, psychopaths, cult indoctrination, mind control, and complex post-traumatic stress disorder. The Great Cycle by Vinnie Eastwood. A lot of educated people may understand one or more of these phenomena in isolation, but few ask the question how each affects the other. Well, think about this. A narcissist requires attention and admiration. They love themselves to the point of not caring about others. A psychopath requires power, wealth, and sex. They think themselves so superior that human life has no intrinsic value except when it's of use to them. Both narcissists and psychopaths can be incredibly charming and persuasive. They cheat, steal, kill, sabotage, manipulate, and lie convincingly without showing any remorse. They frequently destroy the lives and reputations of anyone who stands in their way, and thus often find themselves in the most powerful and influential positions of society. All psychopaths are narcissists, but not all narcissists are psychopaths. However, the subset of manipulative techniques they use to control people makes them extremely adept at extracting what they want from them and implanting beliefs in the victim's mind. Interestingly, these techniques bear a striking similarity to those employed by cult leaders when indoctrinating their membership. These same psychopathic narcissistic behavioral patterns form what might be considered the main pillars of brainwashing used in government mind control experiments. Effects on the personality and behavior from victims of cult indoctrination, brainwashing, and narcissistic or psychopathic abuse are virtually identical to many of the traits shown by sufferers of complex post-traumatic stress disorder, a disorder that, ironically, exhibits much of the same behavioral traits as narcissism, and narcissists frequently raise their children in a way that often develop narcissistic personality disorder. And now the great cycle is complete.
That would take a little while for me to comprehend it all, Vinny. I'm going to have to get you to send me a copy of that. But I've just really in the last couple of years started looking into mind control and MK Ultra mind control and some of the aspects, and it's a really deep subject and really have to look at it hard. And that was interesting, my friend.
Yeah,
to say
well,
the least.
Well, the thing is, I'm trying to make it. Let's say, for lack of a better word, I'm trying to dumb it down for people, because all these topics, the reason why the scumbaggery keeps perpetuating itself is because there's a subset of humanity that aren't smart enough / educated enough to get it. And it's not their fault. It's because these people use wankery language to hide their scumbaggery. Okay, they use word magic essentially to conceal themselves. You know, like Batman in a puff of smoke.
Well, exactly. Different words can have different meanings when applied to different situations, and they're the masters at twisting it around.
Yeah, and myself, I'm the exact opposite of that. I like to cut to the chase. I like to give people the exact thing that they got to say in a very, very short, simple way that they'll understand, so that they understand it as well as I do. And there's an old saying, I think it was Albert Einstein's actually, if you can't explain a subject simply enough, then you don't understand it well enough. And it was really interesting because I told that quote to a guy who was trying to tell me about derivatives, etc., and he was explaining this derivatives to me, right? And another mate of mine who's like a gold and silver investor. And he's like, no, you guys don't get it. And come up with these huge waffling sentences of wank. Like, oh my God, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't understand what he's talking about. He thinks he does, but he's an idiot and he doesn't. That's like the entire human race. We're so screwed, bro. Like, oh my God.
It really does make you wonder some days, doesn't it, Vinny, when you really realize how stupid some people are. And I scratch my head some days. I mean, I watched this one guy, that Mark Dice down in the States, and, you know, I thought that was staged, a lot of these questions that he's passing to a normal American person, but they're not staged. And most of these people in America, you know, you're asking their name now and they're stuck for an answer. Well, you know, that's been brought into our society over a long period of time, and we look at all the attacks on our mental health and our actual genome structure in our body.
Ooh, speaking of
is
which.
Under attack. People just don't have a clue anymore. They really are. I see society as being really, really dumbed down. It's really hard to get through the barrier on a lot of people.
Now, fluoride and fluoridated water have been known to reduce the IQ.
Subject.
Now, mm-hmm. in New Zealand, we have, it was quite funny actually, somebody realized that putting fluoride in the water for, you know, the alleged, it's going to be good for your teeth, is medication mm-hmm. by very definition. So they took that to court saying, that's forced medication. That's against the Geneva Convention. And New Zealand, yep. Having 118 judges, 98 of them are related by first cousin at least, with a Supreme mm-hmm. Court that is only 8 judges with an $8 million building where 2 of the judges are a husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
imagine
the most
that.
Corrupt court system in the Western frickin' world! In the quote-unquote perceived least corrupt country in the world, or at least one of them, they go, nah, it's not forced medication at all. And then they go to the health minister, hey, Mr. Coleman,
yeah,
maybe you should put fluoride under the medicines, out of the Medicines Act. That way, it won't legally be forced medication, and so nobody will be able to bring this little thingy to us again. And so
well,
now,
Vinny, I'm going to share a little quick story with you because I've been fighting fluoride in my community now for 3 years.
I need to finish this first.
Go ahead, and then I'm going to tell you what's going on here.
Because now they've put the authority of fluoridation out of the hands of the local city councils, so people cannot vote on it, and into the hands of the district health boards that follow the dictate of the Ministry of Health. And that will be implemented very soon, forced fluoridation for the whole of New Zealand.
Exactly. Well, I've got a little weapon coming to me right now, Vinny, that's going to shock our town council, and it's just based on exactly what you're talking about, because the FDA in the United States of America officially classifies fluoride as a medicine when it's added to our water to fight the disease of tooth decay. Well, I've been hounding Health Canada now for about 6 months, Vinny, to get a letter from them, because they are in exact accordance to the FDA. Health Canada officially classifies sodium fluoride as a medicine when it's added to our municipal drinking supplies to fight the disease of tooth decay. Now I have a letter coming from Health Canada with this statement. When I get that letter in my hand, I'll be marching down to City Hall, Vinny, and if they don't take it out of our water, I've got 4 individuals in my community now that are ready to go to bat. We're going to sue our federal government, or our municipal government here, our town council. The mayor in British Columbia, people have to realize that all mayors in British Columbia are members of what they call the Council of Mayors of British Columbia, and they are mandated by the government in which direction they go on all issues in our society. So in other words, they're just an extension of the government doing through the guise of municipal laws, right? And town council and your mayor and everything else. Well, Vinny, I got this letter coming now from Health Canada. And when I do get it in my hands, I will be marching down to town council, because what they're doing is they are, under the description of Health Canada's own definition of sodium fluoride, they are forced medicating the public against the will of literally thousands of people in this community now want fluoride out of their water. So I've been battling them now for 3 years on this issue. I mean, sodium fluoride is a hypocrisy in our society. When you look at the studies worldwide on the actual effects of sodium fluoride on the reduction of tooth decay, the differences in countries that are fluoridating their water and countries that are not, Vinny, and you know this, are minuscule. They're not even accountable. And yet they're still going along with this idea that it helps tooth decay. Well, really, people have to do one study, and I urge people to do this, and it's called the chronological history of fluoride. And it goes right back to the beginning of how fluoride was brought into our society, the group of dentists that were involved, the doctors who were involved, and how they were directly tied to the chemical companies at that time that were paying lots of money to dispose of sodium fluoride because of its toxicity. And all of a sudden, they come up with this brainstorm. Society bought it. It was mandated and promoted through society as the new great wonder. And yet, buddy, there is nothing about sodium fluoride that is good for the human body. Ingesting sodium fluoride is like drinking suntan lotion to go to the beach. So it's a real battle I've been fighting for years here, Vinny, and we see some real light at the end of the tunnel with this letter coming. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Hey, oh, man.
Here's a little point you probably didn't know. It's a waste product. A harmful waste product that comes from casting aluminum. And they have to get rid of it.
Well, it's not just casting aluminum. We've got a giant aluminium smelter at the bottom of New Zealand here. And all the fluoride that comes out of that, we don't put that in our water. No, we import our fluoride from Solvay Fluorides in China. They get it all out of their phosphate fertilizer industry. And it's not pharmaceutical grade either. So it's got lead, cadmium, arsenic, and a whole bunch of other really nasty thingies going there. So it's just like, so, sounds really good.
If it's coming from China, if it's coming from China, it's got to be all right, right?
Yeah, they're making
everything else in the world, right? They're making what? 70% of our pharmaceutical drugs now. You know that, eh? And of course, there's stringent guidelines in China, guys. I mean, we got to believe everything the Chinese government tells us, that they have absolute stringent guidelines and absolute sterile conditions for everything they're doing, providing our pharmaceutical drugs and our sodium fluoride for our drinking water. I mean, it's a joke. It really is.
Now, I've been scrolling through.
When you got land, go ahead.
I've been scrolling through my page trying to find this one Facebook post, because this gives you an idea of what John Key did to New Zealand during his 8 years as Prime Minister. All right. He made a few changes to New Zealand that helped usher us into a new world order. First of all, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement has passed through the New Zealand Parliament, and the USA might be left out of that agreement if Trump doesn't sign, and it'll come into law anyway. We're now in a partnership with NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We're a South Pacific nation. And you see, US ships are now allowed in our harbors again. The US Coast Guard has been invited to start patrolling our waters. It's illegal for New Zealand police to pull over foreign military vehicles on our roads now. The country's nearly $100 billion in debt. Do you get the picture? Mission accomplished, and he's out.
Yep.
Now it's a pattern with him, right? So dig this. Number one, John Key leaves New Zealand in the 1980s after making massive New Zealand dollar trades for international Wall Street tycoons. Our economy implodes. Okay. Number two, John Key left Ireland in the late 1990s when he was working for Merrill Lynch after assisting 15,000 clients of his to avoid paying tax. And he put all his money into blind trusts. When he left, the Irish tiger economy imploded. And number three, John Key left Merrill Lynch in the early 2000s. It then collapsed and was bought up by the Bank of America, which he still has shares in and did the whole time he was Prime Minister while the country was loaning money from the Bank of America and other banks. And he doubled his fortune from 50 million to 100 million, right? Now, four, John Key leaves Wall Street and enters Parliament in 2008. Then the global economy implodes. Five, John Key steps down as Prime Minister in 2016 and exits politics and is offered the head job at the International Monetary Fund, which is the receivership arm for all the central banks and all their debt for the whole world. Think about this. What's going to happen next?
Wow.
Okay? When I put that together.
Yeah, that is scary. But you can see all the little pieces of the puzzle coming together, can't you, Vinny?
But it's only over time. And that's the problem with psychopaths, is that they reinvent themselves all the time. All the time. And they don't actually have any, shall we say, memory. Right, no emotional memory to the things that they've done or the people that they are. Oh, that wasn't me. That was me last year. That was when I was the Prime Minister. I'm not the Prime Minister anymore, so therefore I'm not responsible for any of my actions while I was. You see how that works?
I'm a new man now.
they're just crazy, okay? And that's what people don't get. Imagine if I told you that the world's run by crazy people. Does it suddenly make a lot of sense that the world is seeming so crazy now?
Well, really, all a person really have to do is start looking at what these people that run our world are doing behind the curtains there, Vinny, and really start looking into what's going on inside the world. And ideas. Like, I mean, Bohemian Grove, that's all a bunch of crap. That stuff doesn't go on. Skull and Bones, that's just fairy tale stuff, man. It's all fairy tale stuff. But boy, I'll tell you, the box, the lid off the box seems to be coming off right now. I think the Pandora's box is open. I mean, pedophilia is being exposed worldwide right now.
Not on InfoWars, it's not.
Yeah,
and in fact, their only reporter that wanted to report on it got fired under mysterious circumstances.
Now, why would an organization that's supposed to be so pro-open with everything that's going on not want to expose that kind of information? Because it is everywhere right now, Vinny. I mean, I've been looking at this for years. It is just absolutely boggles my mind what these people are actually into that are running our world.
Well, that was the
and
most painful.
People really start to understand that. That's hard for people. Most people can't even begin to wrap their mind around that, Vinny. They can't.
Yeah, just Google Douglas Dietrich, pedophile, Vinny Eastwood. Right, those key terms, and you come up with the interview that I did with Douglas Dietrich about the U.S. military pedophile rings. All right, so you got children on a base. Let's say you got 80 children in a childcare center that's on a military base. Why is that childcare center on that military base? Well, here's why. You'll find out when the kids come off that military base and go to hospital with 17 venereal diseases. Right? That's hardcore, bro. And these are the people who pull this president's strings. The military-industrial complex is behind the worst human trafficking and pedophilia rings of the world's ever known. And they're so powerful, so psychopathic, so violent and vicious, with such massive surveillance apparatus, that anybody running for president who isn't afraid of these people is probably insane. You know?
Well, yeah. You know what, Vinny, what you just said, I'm fully aware of all this, but, you know, for the normal person to begin to understand what we're talking about, it really, it's like a barrier goes up inside their brain. They don't even want to hear this because there's just, their whole world will come apart if they really knew what was going on inside our government, inside these circles of people that run our world. It would just, they don't even want to recognize it. It's like there's a wall up, and we gotta figure out a way to get that wall down, baby.
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Stop taking personal responsibility for bringing individuals' walls down. All right, I'm gonna read you something from my article, "Conspiracy Theorists: Why People Think You're Crazy and How to Change It." This is a section called "The Seventh Man." Statistically, it takes about 7 different people to tell you something contrary to your belief system before you'll consider abandoning it. Mind you, this is not the same person repeating it to you 7 times. Now, this is a bell curve, of course, so some people might need only to be told by one person, and others may need to be told by 100,000 different people over the course of a lifetime. If you're the first person to walk up to someone and say, "Hey, did you know the world is run by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery?" the likelihood is they'll call you a conspiracy theorist or some other insult and then ridicule or ignore you. However, if you're the 7th person to walk up to them and go, "Hey, did you know the world is run by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery?" there's a much greater likelihood that this person will say something like, "You know, a lot of people have been saying that lately," and start asking you questions about it instead of denying it outright or being abusive. Now, unless you're pretty clued up and calm, trying to convince them of any particular element of conspiracy without the oodles of documents and graphics that convinced you just lying around, it might backfire when you start ripping into reptilians, chemtrails, and the flat earth. Now, people are all individuals, and it's very difficult to tell by assumption alone which conspiracy elements they're prepared to accept, and the best approach is to not even try to convince them at all. You weren't woken up by a conversation you had on the street with a complete stranger for 5 minutes. You woke up because you spent countless hours researching, reading, watching documentaries, and listening to alternative talk radio. No one put a gun to your head to make you do it, and you wouldn't have done it if they had. The fact is, you literally can't wake people up, per se, in the broad sense of the word, because like you, they also have to undergo the exact same grief process you did. So you can easily point them in the right direction by maybe mentioning a good documentary or maybe a good website, but if you try to list or explain everything you've learned, you're going to overload them. They will stop listening, and they will start thinking you're a crazy person, and then you've really screwed it up, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. You got to approach people on a grassroots level, Vinny. And that's what I try and do. I mean, when I have conversations with people, you can't get in there and start telling them that, you know, the leaders of our world are sacrificing children and doing all kinds of unbelievable stuff. They'll walk away from you. But my experience has been in my own community here, Vinny, in the last 3-4 years. I mean, I talk to people all the time. And 3 or 4 years ago, people would look at me like I was a little crazy. Well, those same people now are coming up to me going, well, I went and watched this and I watched that. You know, what you were talking about with vaccines, a lot of it I wasn't aware of, but now I'm starting to look at it. I'm getting that response. I see people now starting to communicate amongst each other where I didn't see that years ago. So there is an awakening happening. But I think we have to speed it up, man. I think we need to put the pedal to the metal. And what you're doing, buddy, I have a great respect for what you're doing and other people in alternative media that are really trying to show people that these are the barriers that are there and how we can break them down. Divisions in our society, Vinny, that's something we could talk about for hours. Because, you know, Vinny, all these divisions we see in our society, they weren't put, that didn't happen overnight, you know. They've been implemented in society over a long period of time. So society didn't really recognize what was happening. They don't recognize the changes because they're gradual. But here we find ourselves today in a society that's completely upside down from what I was raised in as a child, you know, a short 50 years ago. I've seen the changes and I see how they change society and how they condition our thoughts. And you know what? We're getting down to the last 5 minutes here, Vinny. You know, this has been really, I've really enjoyed this conversation.
I do want to actually
I'd love to do another show with you, is what I'm trying to say. Sometime in the near future here, I would love to get down and talk to you about, some of the things we're talking about tonight, because I've really enjoyed this show with you. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes here to share a few final thoughts with people. We're down to about 5 minutes here. Muddy has to leave, and he's my producer. So we're going to have to shut the show down.
I'll try to get the rest of the seventh man paragraph out. The best piece of advice I ever got was don't take yourself too seriously and don't take what others say about you personally. Now, I thought I understood it the first time I heard it, but it was only about a year later that its meaning truly sunk in. What it really means is that you can't force others to think or act the way you want them to, including the way they view you. So when you try to force them to adopt a belief, they won't like it, and you'll get a massive feeling of rejection. The exact same kind of rejection any salesman gets when people don't want to buy what they're selling. But does that salesman just quit and feel bad for themselves? Well, do they revisit the same unreceptive person over and over? No. They knock on the next door and try again with someone completely different. In conspiracy terms, I call this approach the information grenade. You pull the pin, chuck it in, and walk away, and maybe it'll blow up in their face later. Having an attachment to the outcome is ill-advised. If you're having a conversation, just change what you're talking about. I found this lesson with my family, because when they bring up conspiracy stuff, that's when I talk to them about it. But I no longer bring it up first, because I've done so many times already. Remembering that you still have common ground with people is essential to surviving as part of society. The problem is that we forget how we used to get along with people. Truthers often forget that they liked having dinner with their family, swapping stories, talking about music or movies, playing card games, etc. And it's essential that you remind yourself to participate in such non-truther activities, only because to do otherwise means your social circles close up and you're left isolated. I met an ex-vegan the other night. He said that at his house, everything's vegan. Vegan bread, vegan pasta, the whole nine yards. But when he goes out for dinner at a restaurant or a friend's place, he eats meat and animal products. Why? Because if he was full-on vegan 24/7, he knew he'd never be able to enjoy a meal with the people in his life, which is essential for normal social function. The same rule goes for conspiracy theorists. Unless you're willing to make compromise for the valued people in your life who don't share your beliefs and keep one foot in the matrix, as it were, you come off like some kind of born-again religious zealot trying desperately to save people. And let's face it, you wouldn't invite one of them into your house for dinner so that they can rant and rave about how you're going to hell if you don't convert.
Great thoughts, Vinny, and thanks for joining me on the show this week, and I look forward to maybe doing a show with you again in the future here. I want to thank TCT for offering me the platform to share our thoughts, and my producer, Muddy, and Dan Bedonde for joining me for the first couple hours there. It's been a very, very enjoyable show, and thanks again, Vinny, and come back next week, and we'll do it again.
Thanks, Barry.
Bye for now.